Welcome to the Photo Booth International Podcast, live from Dallas, Texas. Find us online at photobooth.international.com.
Welcome back to the Photo Booth International Podcast. Jasmine Pather here, your host. Today, I have Julian from Julian Lieber Events on our show today. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Wonderful. So tell us a little bit about how it is that you became a wedding planner and you started your own company.
Yeah. So, you know, I have always been interested in events. And from a really early age, I kind of thought that that I would actually go and work for the Queen of England. Okay. So I was fascinated with the royal family from kind of the very beginning when I was a little kid. And my dreams were a little bit crushed when I realized that I couldn't go and work for the Queen. So I really decided to pursue international studies. And I thought that the path that I would go down would be representing the United States in a more diplomatic way, kind of through the State Department. But I ended up needing to put myself through college. And so the way that I did that was I started a little event company and I went to the University of Oklahoma. And so there are a lot of sororities there. And they throw parties. And I thought, you know, I like to go to parties. And why don't I just kind of take a crack at like throwing them? So I ended up with one client in the beginning. And then by the time I graduated, I had 13 of the sororities.
Nice.
And so I did all of those parties for those girls. And then guess what? They all end up getting married. And so it's a huge source of continuing referrals for me of girls whose parties that I did in college. And then now I get to do their weddings. And so there were a couple of detours kind of along the way. I thought for a minute that I wanted to go into corporate events. So I went and worked for the parent company of USA Today, the newspaper, doing corporate events for them on the East Coast. And then I worked for a couple of florists here in Dallas, for the Garden Gate, and then also for Bella Flora as their director of weddings and special events. But my longest stint in events was in hospitality. And I worked for Rosewood Hotels and Resorts as the area director of catering for the Crescent when it was a Rosewood property and the Mansion on Turtle Creek. So that is where most of my experience in events came from. And then now, almost 4 years ago, actually almost 5 years ago, wow, I'm in my fifth year of doing events on my own for Julian Lieber Events. And, you know, I think I really got into this business because for me growing up, I feel like I was always searching for a path forward. You know, like some of us, I think we grow up without maybe some direction about where we should be going or without a guide about where we should be going. And what's interesting about wedding planning for me is that I get to be with a couple in this very kind of pivotal moment in their life, right? Like it's two people coming together to be one couple on the end, and I get to guide them through that process, which is something that I felt like was missing maybe in my life. And now that really brings me joy because I get to be kind of what I was searching for other people, which is really a cool kind of 360.
I love that. And Julian, I mean, this amounts to over 15 years in this event, you know, industry. That's amazing.
Yeah, it has been a whirlwind. I will say nothing has been quite like this year. But
for all of us,
you know, I do feel like the 15 years has prepared me for this year, which has been good, you know?
Definitely. So while we're on the topic of all your experience, can you tell us how it is? I was looking at your website and you've done fabulous weddings in Hawaii, Italy, Mexico. I mean, you name it. How is it that you were able to work your way there? Obviously, some wedding planners just stick to local weddings. Mm-hmm. So how did you land those international weddings?
You know, it's so funny. I would say like it is about experience, right? What I intended for this business when I left Rosewood was that I would enter into the ultra luxury sphere just as I had been in with Rosewood Hotels. Mm-hmm. And so I think a combination of being in the right place at the right time and having met some really incredible people through my 15 years of hustling, you know, allowed me to just launch right into this market segment in the beginning and to be able to say no to some things that didn't make sense for me. You know, I think a lot of other wedding planners, they start and they have to work their way up, you know, and I feel very fortunate that I worked my way up in a different way. You know, it was not in weddings. It was in on the other side, on the hospitality side. And so the connections that I was able to make over those 15 years helped me to get to this place of launching right into ultra luxury and right into destination.
Yeah, I love that about your story, because sometimes we don't realize that we're right where we need to be in order to get to where, you know, we want
we're
to
going.
Be.
Yeah,
exactly. And so the fact that you were able to make such great connections at those jobs that you were at kind of laid that foundation of networking for you. And that's why you were able to just kind of do such a quick launch and, you know,
and go right into it.
Yeah,
exactly. And it was just, it is about relationships. And what I think also people sometimes don't see is that it is 15 years of hustling. Like it's 15 mm-hmm. years of doing the hard work and just doing it, you know, and taking the opportunities and seizing them when they come, I think too, right? Because when an opportunity comes, sometimes you're scared to take it. Mm-hmm. Or you think, oh gosh, I don't know. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. You know, but there is really, you know, in this business, there is no reward without some risk. And so if you're willing to risk it, then sometimes the payoff is so much greater, you know?
Definitely. So what were some of your challenges when you started your event rental business?
When my event planning business?
Yes.
Oh, no worries. I wish I was in event rentals. But I am in event planning. But I would say, you know, some of the challenges in the beginning were saying no, right? Like when I was with Rosewood, I was able to do one international wedding a year because I had brought a specific set of clientele in with me. And so what I really did there was I saved all the money that I could every year that I would do a wedding, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to put this away for a rainy day because you just never know what's going to happen. And so I was able to, when I launched, use that rainy day fund to be able to launch in the right way and also to say no to some clients that maybe didn't make sense for me or weren't in the market that I wanted to be mm-hmm. in, you mm-hmm. know? And so that was primarily the hard choice in the beginning, was saying no. And then just kind of learning how I wanted to do this, right? Because there's lots of different ways to have a wedding planning business. You could have a lot of employees, you could have overhead, you could have a storefront, you could have an office, all of those things. And one of the big things for me in the beginning was figuring out in my own head and kind of getting through my own ego that it really wasn't important for me to have an office. It really wasn't important for me to have a staff of 30 or 40 people, right? What was important to me was to be able to deliver a very high quality product that I knew that my clients were going to want me to deliver, not someone else, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of getting past this point of where I had come from, because I had just come, I was the area director of catering. I had two hotels. I had a staff of 50 people, you know, and I was used to operating in that way. This is Pixie. She's joining us, by the way, my little dog, if you see her in the background, because she can't be alone for 1 second by herself. But I really thought I had to get through that for myself, you know, and that was a huge challenge of getting through my own ego. And then ultimately getting to a place of, okay, this is what I want to do. And I know that my clients want to work with me, so I can't hand them off to anyone else. That's not going to work.
I see. I think that's very important, because sometimes we think, okay, I want to be, like you said, a wedding planner, but there's multiple ways of going about that. So is it just you and a few people as part of your team, or how many people are on your team?
Yeah, it is just me. I am the only person on the payroll. Yes. So I really learned early on, and this was the thing that I learned kind of throughout my career, was that if you're not the best at it, you should staff it out. Yes, right. Yes. So I have a whole team of people that help me with my social media. I have a whole team of people that help me with my website. I have a whole team of people who come on event days that are experts in their certain area. Mm-hmm. And so you can staff up and staff down as needed. I have a great accountant. I have a great person who helps me with my QuickBooks. Like, the things that I know that I am not the best at, I hired another company to do them. And so that way, then you can multiply yourself and be able to scale in kind of a different way than just adding on all this staff and internally paying for expenses that really you might not need.
Definitely. Yeah. I think this year, 2020, has given a lot of us in the entrepreneur world a whole new perspective on how it is that we can have a team, or how it is that we can work from home. And now we don't necessarily need to go to the office, right? My husband and I have been working from home for the last 5 months, 6 months.
Yeah.
And so it's given us a whole new perspective. We got a new dog. We had said, no new dogs. We don't have time. We're never home. We got another dog. And now we realize, wow, like, we kind of can control a lot more than what we thought initially about where we work and how we do it. So that's fantastic. I'm really amazed at the fact that you are the, in the sense of what you do and what, why you love doing it, you're the only person that's doing it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have five or six other wedding planners that kind of work under your name but execute on their own. Mm-hmm. It's just you. And so I can imagine how when brides come to you, they know that they're going to work with you directly. So mm-hmm. I'm sure that's one of the main points that they decide to book with you, or to do services with you, rather than someone that has sort of an umbrella of a company. So
yeah, it makes it easy. And they also know that their wedding is really important and really special, because I only take on so many a year, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not about scaling up my wedding business. You know, it's about, I love my life and I love the way that, that it works with these 10 to 12 clients, you know, mm-hmm. And it makes it really special and really meaningful. And you get to dive really deep into who someone is and mm-hmm. really make their wedding spectacular and very, very much a reflection of who they are.
Yeah, I love that. Aside from networking and your previous job connections, what are some of the ways that you've been able to market yourself as a luxe high-end wedding planner?
You know, I think the thing that sets me a little bit apart from the other planners in my field is that I really have figured out how to use those connections and build within those networks. You know, I think a lot of people say, oh, well, these clients are my clients, right? But in my business, kind of from the beginning, clients have always been friends. And so when you join the Julian Lieber Events family, like you're joining a family of clients who know each other and who are connected to each other and who are then going to want their friends to become part of the family, you know? And I think it's all about how you can help someone, right? Because the thing about wedding planning is that it's confusing, right? Like, let's just be honest about it. It's hard and it's confusing. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of transparency in it, right? And so I think one of my main goals has been to provide as much information as possible to people in the beginning of the process and as they're searching me out. And I do that primarily through my resources on my blog and really just giving the information and putting it out there and saying, this is what you need to be thinking about. And these are the things that you need to be looking for. And these are the questions you need to be asking, right? Because ultra luxury weddings and luxury weddings, there's not really like a definitive place you can go to find out like, this is what it's going to cost, right? Because every single aspect of the wedding is bespoke. So every single piece is customized, right? Mm-hmm. So there's no place to say like, this is like what it's 100% going to cost you. And that's why I think the planner's job is the most important, because we are the person or that really holds all that knowledge, right? Like when you're planning a wedding of a certain size and budget, you have to have someone who's experienced in doing it, because you're generally the customer only once. I'm the customer again and again and again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And so if I can find a way to disseminate that information to my clients, then everybody is better off.
Yeah, I can obviously tell that you have a lot of experience when it comes to sort of pitching yourself, not only pitching yourself, but you've created a brand. And whenever I look at your page, at your website, and even your Instagram, I mean, there's a cohesive look to it. There's a brand that you've been able to create. So I know you mentioned you have someone that manages your social media. Mm-hmm. Is it a company or is it just someone that is like a freelancer? How did you find that?
Yeah, so it's a company. Okay. And we work in kind of different ways, you know? So I do like to have a lot of control of my brand. And I think like that's what's most important about a brand, right? Is that there is someone who's infused their personality and their what they're trying to achieve in the brand. And so I select all of the photos. I upload all of the photos into a planning software. And then I write the backstory of every single wedding. And then I have hired a company that does copywriting to come in and help me flush out all of the captions that go with the social media, right? And then I schedule it. So what I've done is like, I know the parts again that I like to do. Right. So I do those. And then I hire out the part that I don't love. Right. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of works seamlessly. So there's lots of little tricks like that where you can hire someone to maybe help you with a little segment, right, of something, of the thing that you don't love to do. And then that's how you can do more, because then you don't have to worry about it. And also the things that I don't love to do, I procrastinate in doing.
Guilty. I'm guilty of that as well.
Raise your hand. If you're on this podcast, raise your hand if you are guilty of procrastination. Me, 100%. Yeah. And so by holding myself accountable with someone that I'm paying to do it, I'm much more likely to do it.
Yeah. Like, that's a great tip. Hey. Yeah. Yeah, you know you're spending money, so you want to make sure that it's getting done and that you're growing your brand in that way. I completely relate to that. Yeah. And that's something that we tell our customers that buy photo booths from us. We tell them all the time, you might have to design a layout for your event, but if you don't know Photoshop, don't, and you don't care about Photoshop, don't go buy a course or don't go spend all your time when you should
hire it out.
Exactly. Yeah. Focus on what you love to do. Focus on maybe starting out, you might have to just learn the basics just to be able to pay someone $10, $20 to create something for you. And then later down the line, as you kind of grow, then you can expand and learn new things if you wish to, but you don't have to.
Yeah. And if you find you don't like it, then figure out a way that you don't have to do it, right? Because if you're spending time on something that you don't love, you're not spending time. What are you wasting your time on, right? Like, what could you be doing? Like, you could be out there doing more sales if you weren't worried about doing the Photoshop. Right. So you always have to spend a little money to make a little money. Like, that's the story of all entrepreneurship.
So as far as you working with vendors, obviously, I'm sure you have a pool of vendors that you've worked with for quite some time, as at least here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. So what are some of the qualities, right? Because a lot of the people listening, most of them have photo booths and they've started their own rental company, but what are some of the qualities that you look for in these vendors to continue to work with them? And because you work these such luxe events, obviously they have higher budgets, there's higher expectations, they want something different. So how do you pick and choose your vendors?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, number one is reliability, right? Did you say that you were going to do something and then did you do it? Because I don't like to micromanage, right? I think that's the number one thing is I have enough going on with all of this other stuff that I need you to do your job in your lane that you got hired for. And I need to not worry about it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I would say reliability is number one. Number two would be responsiveness. Okay. Because I don't like to send an email and then wait a long, long time for a response, or have a phone call and then wait for a long time for you to call me back. I think it's really important to be able to be Johnny on the spot. And that is something that really working in hotels taught me. The first person to respond is the person that wins, right?
Yes.
So yes, pick up the phone, call them. Okay. I am old school in that way. If you have a question and it's not clear in the email, pick up the phone and let's talk on the phone. Like, don't be afraid of the phone, people. Okay. Because the phone is your best friend, because also nobody else is doing it. So if you can get on the phone and you can make your case in that way, it's going to be a million times more effective than sending an email, right? Don't hide behind your computer, get out in front of it and really embrace it. You know, because ultimately I am hiring a vendor that clicks with the rest of my team, right? Like all the vendor team that I've put together, it's about personality. And if you're going to come and you're going to cause a headache and you're going to have a problem and like, you're not going to be able to like find power on your own. Like I don't want to worry about those questions. That is a you problem, you know? And so I think being able to be as self-sufficient would be the number three thing, right? Like arrive and be as self-sufficient as humanly possible. And that means kind of thinking like a wedding planner, right? Like plan it out, understand exactly what you need to bring, have all the tools that you need there just in case something breaks, right? Like we're all entrepreneurs. I travel everywhere with like a go bag pretty much that has like any, like we call it the bridal emergency kit. It has every single thing that a bride could need at any given moment on a day, you know? And then there's like also 10 of them in there just in case, you know? So I definitely think reliability, responsiveness, and then just really being kind of self-sufficient and being able to just get the job done, deliver a very high quality product without any kind of issues, you know? And if there is an issue, to be proactive in working through it. Right? Like, I don't want someone to come to me at the last minute, any vendor that comes and says, like, we have this major problem that you could have solved had you thought 10 steps ahead.
Exactly.
You know? So I just think it's about trying to be the most professional that you can be. And it also is a lot about drawing on your experience from other fields, right? Like I draw a lot in this job on my schooling, which was for international studies, right? It's all about negotiation and how to bring people to the table and create collaboration and really kind of elevate an event by using all of the tools that you have at your disposal. And so that's something I think that all business owners could do a little bit better on is stepping outside of the box and asking, you know, like, let's collaborate on something. And instead of saying yes, but say yes, and, right? Like move the collaboration forward as opposed to just like stopping it. Like I'm not doing that and that's not in my contract. Like let's just work together to make it the best that we can make it.
Definitely. At the end of the day, it'll be a win-win, right?
For everyone. And ultimately the client wins.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. And then that client, you know, might have a baby shower or something else that they'll want to hire the same professionals for. And exactly. What we try to stress to our customers is that preparation is key. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to anticipate, you want to prepare for the worst, expect the best, but prepare for the worst and anticipate what issues could come up, right? This is your kind of one and only chance to make, you know, if it's the first time that they're working with you, Julian, it's their one shot at making a fantastic impression with you so that you can potentially hire them out for the rest of the year.
Yeah, exactly. Because once you create a relationship like that, you don't want to change it. You want to stay within that zone because it's working. And so you just keep moving forward because it's working, you know? And I would say one of the things that kind of came to my mind now thinking and talking about this was the way in which you can learn how to anticipate it well, right? And you might not be able to learn that from someone if you don't have a mentor or you're just starting, right? But the best way to do that is to actually go and stay at a luxury hotel. Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've never done that before, but that's an investment you need to do for yourself. Like you need to go and stay at a Four Seasons or a Ritz-Carlton or a luxury property in some place, right? Or a Rosewood. Because when you go there, then you should pay attention to every single step of service.
Yeah.
Okay. From the valet and how they greet you and how they take your luggage and how they anticipate your needs and how they walk you inside and then how the check-in process unfolds, right? It's all very intentional to make a client feel special and respected and heard. And if you kind of go through that process for yourself and understand what the clientele that you're trying to get into is expecting, then you're 10 steps ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, I love that. That's so true. I mean, whenever we go somewhere, like that's like, I'm going to compare it to like fast food, right? Like people talk about it all the time. They say, I love Chick-fil-A. I love the food, but I love it even more so because of the way that they greet you. Or Starbucks, you know, you'd rather pay a premium for the way that someone treats you. You remember that. You remember the way that they made you feel. And yeah, the product might be good, but it's that the personality and the way that they take care of you and the way they talk to you, that's a cherry on top that makes you a raving fan.
Totally. I mean, I will say this. I personally think that Chick-fil-A should have been put in charge of the whole pandemic response in America because they are so efficient. Like efficiency. Like, but it's still with that efficiency, they don't lose the personality. And and I mean, their restaurants aren't even open inside, right? Like you can't even go inside a Chick-fil-A in America, right? But they make you feel that special in the drive-thru. Now that is like some serious customer service.
Definitely. You know?
And so watch those little things, your little interactions in your day, right? And I will say, in 15 years of doing this, like, there have been some really amazing bosses. There have been some not great bosses, right? And so each of us comes with a different set of experiences of things we want to do and mm-hmm. things we don't want to do, right? Mm-hmm. And the don't want to do's are just as important as the want to do's, because by learning how not to do something or watching someone do something in the wrong way, you really begin to understand what it is that you're supposed to be doing.
Definitely. Yeah. Learning from the things that you don't want as well. Yeah. Exactly. I love that.
Yeah.
What tips do you have for photo booth rental business owners that haven't been able to land the higher end events, right? So there's the small private events, and of course there's like the luxe or the higher end or even the corporate clients. Mm-hmm. What advice do you have for them?
Well, if you're in the corporate world, hold on tight, friends, because the pandemic has like hit us all. I completely say maybe it's time to like start doing some weddings on the side. This is the thing. I don't think it's 100% about quality versus quantity, right? Like in this situation, if you're providing a photo booth here for like a mid-tier wedding and you're providing a photo booth here for a luxury wedding, it could be the same pricing, right? Because you're maybe are providing the same type of service, right? Mm-hmm. But you should just start treating your mid-tier or your lower tier clients exactly like you would want to treat the luxury client, right? Because this is the gig. In weddings, you never know who is in front of you.
Yes.
You just don't know who's there. Mm-hmm. And so the one person who happens to be attending like a lower tiered budget wedding could be an ultra high net worth individual, and they were so impressed with your service at the photo booth in front of and how you handled yourself, how you were dressed, right? Like what my advice always is you should dress the part for the next job, right? Yeah. And so I also, we can touch on this a little bit, but I also own an etiquette business that is called the Dapper Diplomat. And so I coach all different types of businesses and individuals to be their best selves in social situations and business situations. And it is really important to always be dressed for the next job, right? And present yourself in a way that is appropriate for the setting, but elevated.
If that makes sense. Yeah. Elevated. Yes. Don't just do, yes, it's easy to wear all black, but there's a way to take it up a notch, you know?
Exactly. To just, you know, take it up just a little bit more, you know? And I always, just like Coco Chanel says, right? Like put everything on and then take one thing off, because you should just always be a little bit less than, right? In your ostentatiousness, like fitting in is crucial in this type of business, and being appropriate, I think, at all times is also very crucial.
Definitely. Again, it's about the impression that you give off. Mm-hmm. How interactive are you with the guests at these events? And like you said, you never know who is there.
You don't. You really don't. And I think it's also about a boundary, right? Like setting a boundary for yourself. Like you don't want to get too personal with someone in that moment, but you do want to be open and inviting and willing to have fun with them in that moment, but you're not there to become best friends. You're there to provide a service, right? So there is a very thin gray line of being welcoming and inviting, but not being too personal.
Mm-hmm. Don't, and that so,
mean- I, yeah. Go ahead.
That means don't take the shot whenever they offer
don't
it.
Don't take the shot at the party. Don't be drinking at the party. Don't do anything that would make it feel inappropriate at all. Right? Yeah. And stick to your job. That's the other thing too. Is like, don't go wandering around. Like, let's say it's a big birthday party, right? Or a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah. And there's all this fun stuff that you could go around and do. You need to stick to your job. You need to be glued to your photo booth. Like, you don't need to be wandering around. Yes, it's a great party, but like, you need to be really focused on what it is that you're doing, and you're doing it to the very best of your ability.
100% agree. Focus on your job and do it as best as you can while, you know, adding a little bit of your personality in there. There's nothing wrong with that. But that was our number one rule when my husband and I went out and worked events. And this was like, you know, 8 years ago when we first started. We had a rule, and it applied even to us. Even though we had a team of like 15 attendants, we would have, you know, like quarterly meetings, and we would stress the importance of not drinking. Yes, there's going to be people that are going to say like they really like you. They're going to want you in the picture because they think you're a beautiful girl. You just kind of, you know, respectfully decline, and you just continue to do what you need to do. Because
exactly. Keep doing yes, your job.
Even if it's the host might be the one telling you, no, it's fine, I booked you. But at the end of the day, there's people looking around, and they're going to pay attention, and they're going to say, that's not very professional. I wouldn't book them.
Yeah, exactly. Because again, you never know who is in the room.
Yep, exactly. Well, I think you've added a lot of value here. I really love everything that you've shared. Where can people find you if they're looking for your etiquette page or your wedding page?
Yeah, so my wedding page is julianlever.com. And on Instagram, it's at julianlever. And then for the etiquette side, it's called The Dapper Diplomat. And that website is dapperdiplomat.com and at The Dapper Diplomat.
Wonderful. Well, guys, I think that wraps up for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you guys enjoyed Julian sharing a little insight on his luxe wedding planning business. I honestly wish I would have hired him whenever I got married in 2016. Maybe for a vow renewal.
Exactly. You just let me know.
You guys will have to let me convince Josh, and then we can hire Julian for our vow renewal. But with that being said, thank you so much for tuning in. And be sure to follow Julian. We'll add all of his links below. And go ahead and give him a like. Add him on Instagram. Follow him. Take a look at, I always say, you never have to create something on your own, right? Model the people who are successful. Yes, he's a wedding planner, but he's in the high end. He's a luxe wedding planner. So if you pay attention to the way that he's marketing himself on Instagram, the way that he has his website laid out, the way that he has a video talking about his service and how he got started on his main page, these are all things that add value and make a potential customer feel more comfortable filling out that contact form. And then, like he said, make sure to give them a call, because so many people don't do that anymore. So with that being said, I hope that you guys found this video helpful. And like I said, go ahead and make sure to follow him. And I'll see you guys on the next one. Take care.
Bye, everybody.